Hello and welcome to the B2Beast podcast, the best place to collect killer ideas for big business. And today we have got a beast in the building. He is an elite community builder, a top-tier content creator in social sales and marketing, a four-time LinkedIn top voice, and currently the CEO of AMP, where he helps organizations amplify their brand with electrifying organic content. Please welcome Morgan J. Ingram!
All right, that's lit, yo. I was like, what is he doing? What's he about to do? I love that. I'm more fired up than I already was.
Nailed it. Well, I am fired up to finally have you in this seat on the other side of this, man. Been awesome to follow your journey on LinkedIn and all the digital realms. You're crushing it in the organic content category, which is where we're going to tap into today. But would love to just get a quick little snapshot of your world. What are you most grateful for right now in your life, your business, everything you got going on? What are you most grateful for right now?
The thing that I'm the most grateful for is listening to my inner voice. I feel like that voice is sometimes or mostly neglected, and people sometimes don't even listen to it ever in their life. They'll die and they never listen to it. So for me, I'm the most grateful that I'm listening to it more and more and really diving into that voice, which is helping me do the things that I need to do and understanding where I need to go.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. I think a lot of people, especially in the digital era, don't quite recognize how valuable it is to be able to finally let that calm, that noise kind of settle and listen, because a lot of the answers that we're all looking for, we already have inside. We just have to peel away all that junk and noise and notifications on top of it. So that is a non-traditional but brilliant answer to keep top of mind here. Would love to just capture and share a bit of your story. You've had an epic journey from what I can see from the outside, especially in enterprise, B2B, like the big boy sales is kind of where it psychologically has been categorized. And you carved your lane as a thought leader there. And now I'm seeing a whole new world emerge and evolve. So I'd love to hear from your end, what has your journey and your story been like so far? And where are you heading next?
Yeah. So quick context, I can give everybody the whole story. If you go look at a LinkedIn profile, I was a sales development rep. So that's someone who does cold calling, cold emailing to schedule meetings for another sales rep. So as soon as some of you heard that, you're like, well, that sounds really tough and does not sound like it's for me. Like, it is tough. And somehow I went into it. I originally wanted to go into marketing though, but I went into sales to learn the skill. And then I ended up creating content in that space, and then ended up doing sales training in that space, and ended up, you know, winning these top sales voices. However, deep down, it's not what I wanted to do for the rest of my life, because I love the craft of creating content and marketing. And the shift has this, the reason I really made the shift was I was watching, I don't remember exactly who it was, but I was watching this video and it talks about the 10%, 1%, and the 0.01%. Travis, I don't know if you've ever heard of this concept before.
No, I have not, but I like where this is going.
So I want y'all to stay with me, because like, this is so important. If you don't get anything else I'm going to say today, this will make you think about your life differently. So it talks about how the 10% is like, if you get to 10% of your craft, you're really good at what you do, right? 80% of the revenue comes from 20% of the sales reps and organizations, just to give you like a baseline of what that 10% means. So you're really good at what you do. You're considered, you know, within the top tier, right? And so there's a level where you get to the 1%. Consider the 1% like getting to the NBA, the NFL, or, you know, Premier League, if you're watching internationally, that's what that is. So not that many people make it there, and you're considered as part of that association. And then it talks about you got to be really, really obsessed and mentally ill to get to the 0.01% of something. And that's Hall of Fame level. People that we know, such as like, and I don't like him because he beat the Falcons, but Tom Brady, right? Everyone knows that I don't like him, bro. Kill my Falcons, but Tom Brady, right? Ronaldo, Messi, right? Phelps, Kobe Bryant, the LeBron James, you can put on that, Michael Jordan, right? These are considered the elite of the elite Hall of Famers, right? And so the video was just talking about, when you get to the 1%, are you going to love what you're doing enough to get to the 0.01%? And so when I watched that video, and I also read the book called The Dip by Seth Godin, if you haven't read that as well, it talks about how when you're really good at something or you're great at something, you have to take a moment to take a dip to then accelerate to what you really should be doing. So when I saw that video, I read The Dip, I realized that as much as I like sales, it wasn't what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And I was facing the dip moment. And so I've taken that dip, right, to go in what I really love, which is the content creation and the marketing piece. So hopefully that's helpful for people as they're thinking about their next moves. Like, it painted a clear picture for me.
Wow. And no, this is a crucial detail of people that really, really want to hit that elite performance. Like, you already think 1%. It's like, oh yeah, they're good, they're great, they're whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, for those that truly, truly want to bring it to that next level, that is, yeah, a non-negotiable piece. You'll burn yourself out. You'll lose that motivation, that sustainability. It's something you typically see in athletic context, but seeing this translated to business, huge, huge win. Love, love, love seeing that. What would you consider the most important, I guess, pieces of the puzzle to recognize those signals or exercises, things to do to make sure that we're not just kind of coasting or on autopilot on those things? What were those signals that said, no, bro, this is not the lane? You're good at this,
yep,
but this is not it. How do you read into those? What do they sound like or feel like or look like?
Yeah, that's a great question. And we're talking about from like 1% to like the 0.01%, or just like overall like sentiment.
Exactly, that recognition of it might not be the right lane. I think they kind of call it the golden handcuffs dilemma of, okay, like, you're not struggling, like you're like got a rock bottom, got to turn your life around, build a business, like you're doing good, you're doing all right, but it's just not quite the right lane where everything clicks.
So I'm going to use an anime example for this one. I don't know if anyone's ready for this one, but sports anime. It's a sports anime. Y'all are not ready for this one. This is not what you expected on this episode today. So it's going to go. I have 5 points here. My first point is it has to like charge you up from an energy standpoint. So, and then I'll go into the anime, but I need to explain this point first. There's energy amplification and then there's energy like drainers. So me and my former boss, John Barrows, we went through this exercise where we wrote down what got us really excited to do and what drained our energy. Now, there are some things that you're going to do that are draining your energy. Like, this is tax time, right? Do I like figuring out my taxes? No, this is draining. I don't like doing this at all. Do I like going to the gym? I don't like, it drains me to go to the gym, but once I'm in it, like, I feel better, right? There are certain things that we do that we don't like to do, but we have to do them, right? But you need to figure out what gets you charged up, because you need to figure out, how can I make this my lifestyle, what I do, etc. So the whole thing is that, like, I started to realize that when I create content, man, I'll spend hours trying to figure it out. Like, okay, what's the angles? How do I go about it? And I'm completely cool with doing that. When I'm creating a campaign, like the weekly launch that I did, like I was in deep hours being like, okay, we got to do this, we got to do here. And I was like, I loved it. Like, I had no sign of like, I don't like this process right now. And that's when I was like, I need to go more that direction. And so my anime example is called Haiku. It's a volleyball anime. Y'all, look, y'all are going to think this is lame. I thought it was going to be the most lame anime of all time. It is my top five anime. I love this anime. It's so good, right? And so they were doing a match, and you know how they in animes, they're having dialogue during the match. Otherwise, you know, they're not just playing volleyball. They're having some dynamic character development there. And they're playing this team, and they have twins on the team. And the twins, they have equal skill. They're both really great at what they do. But the other brother during like a cutscene was like, my other twin is better than me because he loves the game more. And he's like, that's the only reason he's better, because he just loves it more than I do. And that scene was like, man, how many people, they're just better at something because they just love it more. There's a lot of people who could get to equal skill, but if someone loves it more and they're still training and doing the same things you're doing, they're going to win at the end of the day because they have that extra oomph you don't. And so I think everyone has to identify that. So like, that's number one. So we're throwing in, go watch Haikyuu if you want to. I love that anime. You want to stop me? I got more to say, but you can stop me. You can stop me.
I am so on board the anime volleyball train. Let's keep it rolling.
All right, y'all. So number two is that you're innately good at something and you can piece it together faster than other people. It comes second nature and it does it to other people. So I'll give an example. We'll go into marketing meetings and it's a different persona that I'm selling to right now. I used to sell to salespeople for sales training and stuff like that. And they'll tell me what their strategy is. And this is not me like trying to flex on you. I'm just saying like, I could literally be on the call. You tell me what your strategy is. I can tell you creatively how to piece it together, how to map it, how to do a strategy on the spot. And they're like, wait, what? And I'm like, yeah, it's just what you should do. And then I just thought that was a natural thing that everyone could do, but then I realized like, oh, that's an innate thing that I personally could do, right? And everyone here has something that they innately can do themselves as well. It's going to probably be different than mine. I just know that you could literally give me a strategy. I could creatively tell you how to do it, how to make it innovative, what channels we need to go to, and how to go about it. I just could do it very quickly. So that's something you got to pay attention to. Is like, what's something that you can do so fast, and it's like, yeah, that was whatever. It should kind of be like the whatever thing.
Mm.
And then people are like, wait, what? That's something you got to pay attention to. Three is, what are you willing to study that doesn't feel like school?
Huge.
So I'm extremely willing to watch, listen, hop on calls to understand how to do different things. Like, I talked to a YouTuber the other day who's got like 2 million subscribers. He walked me through a couple of things and I was like, great. I talked to someone that has like 100,000 followers on Twitter and I tried to understand what their psychology was. I bought my ticket to go to Social Media Marketing World a couple weeks ago and I just sat in the back and took notes. I wasn't even trying to do anything. Like, I love the study, the psychologically framework of what content is. And I'm willing to get that advice from anyone. And I'm not too like, oh, I have this and I'm doing good. Like, I want to know as much as I can. And I'm willing to talk to as many people as I can to learn it. I'm willing to study it. I'm willing to spend the time. I'm willing to buy the books to do that. You got to find something that like, you're just willing to do the research and study it no matter what. It like doesn't matter what's happening. Like, you're going to put in the work to do this. And if you aren't willing to do that, then it might not be for you, right? You might do it for time to get what you need to do, revenue, et cetera, or money, but you got to find something that you're just willing to study and like, you're relentless about your study. And if we go back to sports, because I think sports analogies are sometimes done wrong. I'm going to shout out to my boy, Kobe Bryant here, Mob Mentality. He was just willing to study the game on a different level, right? He watched film that people probably weren't going to watch. He watched all of his games. He was studying other sports, right? Other owners, right? On how they handled certain situations and applied it to his game. I mean, what else can you do there, right? That's a really big piece. Four is when you're having a conversation with someone that is an expert in their field or has been in the field for a long time, and they can see that this is what you should be doing. If you're getting continuous feedback and someone's like, yo, like, this is what you should be doing, like, this makes sense, and like, you just started in something, that's big. Like, for me, like, I've never been a full-time marketer, but I can have a conversation with a marketer and they're like, wait, I haven't thought of it before. It's like, wait, you've been in this for like 15 years. Like, I'm just telling you like what I think to be true, right? So that's like a really big piece when you start getting love and just accolades from other people in that industry. That means you're on the right track. And then five is, this is also as well going back to one, but it's a little bit different. As you start to realize, okay, this is what I should be doing. This is what drives my energy. It continuously drives your energy and you feel at peace. It doesn't feel like work. It feels like flow state, which, you know, if you don't know what flow state is basically when you're working and like it feels like nothing is happening around you. You are in the zone, you are locked in. And if you can get those five pieces, that's how you know, okay, this is a 0.01% for me. And again, you may have to take a dip, you may have to take a step back, but it's important.
Wow. Wow. This is better than I could imagine. Was totally looking for like a quick little like this or that. We literally have a five-step checklist of your role and passion alignment. That truly is like a necessary element for reaching that maximum human potential, which I think a lot of people, especially listeners of this show, really are interested in that, whether it is on the business side or personal, or what we often see is that eventually starts merging into what you mentioned earlier, lifestyle. You weren't talking about only your business or only your family and like personal life. You're building a lifestyle you truly enjoy from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep. And that is what I think this is about. That's what I admire about this new era of business and influencers and creators. It's about freedom and control. And passion, like you literally can find that lane, that missing piece that we're always kind of looking for. Even the people that got the job, the car, the wife, there's a little piece missing and it might be this. So love having this conversation. And it leads perfectly into our second segment of the show where we're trying to steal your secret sauce. Clearly you're doing something right over there day to day. So I'd love to just kind of tap into that and extract what we can real quick. Do you have a habit or task on your plate that is non-negotiable? Something that you just have to do every day. That's just like a keystone of your world and your life.
I love this. I love this. There are multiple, but I'm going to stick to the one that is the most important. So I don't know if Andy Fasilla, if y'all are familiar with him, he's got some really good content. MF CEO was his podcast. I think he shifted to something different. He said something in his podcast. I started doing this 4 years ago and I was like, oh my gosh, what the heck? This makes so much sense. Or 4 or 5 years ago. He's like, every day. So basically what he talks about is that you need to reward yourself in some way that you're making good strides towards something. Typically we set really big goals. Hey, I want to be a millionaire. I want to fly a private jet. I want to drive this nice car. I want, you know, this type of relationship. I want to go on this big vacation. Okay. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take you some time to get there. So if you're not rewarding yourself in some way that you're moving in that direction, you start having that self-talk of like, can I really do this? Like, is this going to happen? So he talks about write down like 3 to 5 things that you need to accomplish that day or tasks you just need to do so you can give yourself that like motivation bump, like, hey, I'm doing it. And I'm going to relate to something that I'm a huge fan of, and you know this, is video games. Video games do a fantastic job of this. Imagine if you played a game and they were like, okay, we're not going to give you any checkpoints. We're not going to give you any accolades. We're not going to congratulate you. You're going to play for 80 hours and you're just going to go beat this boss. And then we'll be excited. Nobody would play the video game because then you'd be like, I'm not getting any love. This game sucks, right? In the game, what they do is they give you little things. They're like, hey, level 2, congratulations. Skill tree, congratulations. You can go get a teammate. Here's a new armor. You unlock the city, right? They're getting you every single minute. But we don't do that in our own lives. We just say, oh, okay, I guess I'll wait 40 years to go get this thing. Like, that doesn't, like, logically, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense because that's why games are so addicting, right? So make your life a video game. And the way that I make my life a video game is every day I set the goals. So no one sets the goals for me. I set the goals for myself. So you need to be the admin here, play your own game, be the master of it, and say, hey, these are 5 things I'm going to do. And let me tell y'all, these are not crazy things. Like, I write down, like, do a workout, walk, send 10 personalized videos to somebody, right? Like, send a follow-up to this person, right? Say my 3 grateful things that I do as well, right? And so these are just things that I do to make sure, right, that I'm remaining consistent. And it's a non-negotiable. I do it literally every single day. Even if it's like relaxed, don't do anything. I literally, I'm just putting it there.
Gamify your life. I love this. Love this approach. Love this system. And yes, my gaming addictions have, for better or worse, given me vivid clarity on how well this does work. In any context of you're using it, community building, we've seen the same, giving people levels, tiers, all kinds of stuff. But for your own business, like you mentioned, having that anchor point to keep going back to. So in that rhythm or that daily rotation, how does this plug into your world? Do you use a tool or applications, old school pen and paper? What? How do you capture and contain this?
So I do quarterly goals, and I've been, if I'm being transparent, I lagged last quarter because there were so many things going on and so many pivots that I just was like, I know what I need to do. I really can't sit down to do goals. Like, I just know what needs to get done. Now, ironically enough, I'm taking the weekend to then restructure mine for this quarter. And I just do it by the calendar. I don't do like, oh, Feb 1 or like April 2nd is my, no, I just literally do like, like, even if your business runs on a skewed calendar year, just run it like a normal quarter, like January, February, March, April, May, June, like just keep it super simple here. So I do quarterly goals. It'll be like financial, personal, professional. I do 7 goals within each, and then I write action steps on what needs to get done. So each day, right, I'm just like, okay, what do I need to be doing to like map towards those goals? And I have it like, typically I have it printed. I don't have it now, but I typically have it printed out. And so that's the daily goals that I'm doing. And the way that I track that is Google Docs for the quarterly goals. I don't do anything crazy. I probably could do something more advanced, like if anyone has suggestions, but I just keep it simple, cause I already have so many other tech. I don't need to have more tech than I already have. And then in terms of the daily goals, my phone, iPhone has just a checklist, right? So you could literally make it as a checklist. I look at my phone, I check it, and then I'm like, okay, that's great. And I move on. So I keep it simple.
Love it. I love hearing that too, because back to kind of that first statement that we open up the conversation with, of being in a world of so much digital noise and notifications and this and that. I've started to realize the same with our tech stack in business. All these companies and apps and SaaS everywhere, like, are trying to grab your $49 a month somewhere, somehow. And you don't realize, especially after you've been in it for a while, that a lot of that stuff can add up here of an email alert in here, and then something in Monday, and then something in Asana, and then it goes to the Google Drive.
it's all over the place.
Simplify, folks. Yep. Get it down to like, these are multi-million dollar deals, like huge, big business stuff on a phone and Google Drive spreadsheet. You don't need all of these fancy tech, fancy tools all of the time. There is always a time and place and context for that. But, you kind of skipped to our last question. I was going to try and ask if you have a specific system or process for success in business. And skewed that towards the individual side or the personal side. So I'd love to maybe just reframe and reshape that same question towards a business side. So now, if there is a specific approach, whether it is in organic content, social sales, anything like that, do you have a little system or a method or a checklist that a modern business owner can at least start dabbling into? LinkedIn content, organic content, video production, like, it's very daunting to at least just even think of it. So how can somebody explore if that's the right option for them? And then we'll get kind of to part B of how to pursue that option.
So I'm going to caveat this. And Travis, I'm actually curious on your perspective on this as well. And then I'm going to dive into the systems here, because I do have a system beyond just what I shared there. When you started creating content and also doing your own business, how hard was it after? Not because I believe that it is hard to make the decision to finally say I'm going to do it. It becomes easy once you say that I've done it, because there's so much excitement. And Alex Hormozi, I think, posted this, and I'm in it right now. is like the muck is the hardest part, which is kind of like the 3 months after you kind of made that announcement. So talk about how hard it maybe, or maybe was it for you when you started your own business and you started creating content? Oh, this first week is great, but then you're like, I actually got to do the work now.
So I was in a unique position where my content creation journey ended up leading to building the business.
Yeah.
So a very unique element. Most people have the business already.
Yeah. No, I'm in the same way. Yeah.
And then they start the content journey. But in pandemic era, 2020 era, I did finally make that leap. Got sick of Gary Vee yelling at me, you got to be on LinkedIn, posting content and stuff. All of like 2019. So I was like, all right, 2020, new year, new me, let's do this. Started posting on LinkedIn, started building for an event in Denver. I was going to be like, all right, if I'm doing these LinkedIn connections, we should take that to the next level and build those relationships with it. So I immediately stepped into a mucky scenario because the whole entire event that I was planning that was like going to be all of the ROI was set up for March of 2020. So the big old lockdown came the exact week our event was supposed to happen. And I made a pivot that month. Instead of just giving up on the whole thing, canceling entirely, being like, all right, LinkedIn sucks, event sucks, waste of time, waste of effort. I made one pivot, one decision that eventually shifted the rest of my life. Wow. And that was to switch that event from live to virtual. Mm. And we had our first Zoom event that March, booked somebody here on LinkedIn. And I personally thought it was a mess. Again, reading back into those signals, personally, I thought it was garbage. People were coming into the Zoom room like sideways.
Yeah, you're like, what's going on? Like,
couldn't figure out the speaker, like, yeah, get, was muted. Like, just to, by my technical standards, could have been 10 times better. But the feedback directly after was polar opposite. Every person that attended that was pumped, excited, like energized. And the speaker that we had ended up closing clients for a big LinkedIn influencer, like on here, and close, and like all of the pieces of the puzzle started to click of content creation, digital community building, using it for marketing, using it for sales. And there's been a lot of pivots since then, but that was my first remote digital production. And it was kind of creating the content side while also building that business and that offer that we've built out today. So it was very mucky, almost double mucky because the business side didn't have that clarity quite yet. But as you mentioned earlier, staying in tune with those feedback loops really starts helping you recalibrate to that lane you were supposed to be in all along. So it was very mucky in short.
and then you came to Riverside because you were sick of Zoom.
100%.
Yeah, I get that. No, thank you for sharing that story. We definitely can unpack that outside of this because I'd love to hear more about that and the things that you went through.
Sure.
But to go back to the system, the reason I asked that question for Travis is because it's a mucky journey when you do content, and it's a mucky journey when you're starting out your business. This business that I'm doing is the third one. I did one in college. I did one after college. See how I was aggressive. Then I like chilled for a bit, and then now I'm back, right? And it was always mucky. And even creating content beginning, it was mucky as well. And so this system that I'm going to break down will make your content way more clear. And then I'll tell you what I do to feed into the system, essentially, to like how you can build the business. So the way that I'm building it right now, as I'm doing this journey, so you're hearing this in real time as I'm doing this, is I've always been a proponent of only, this is important, of only following 3 to 5 people virtually in terms of mentors. Because there's so much content right now, you're like, oh, I like these 50 people. Oh, and that's cool. But like, you can't objectively follow all those people and take their advice. You're going to be overloaded. That's too much content. And it's going to be a waste of your time. So the thing that my system that I have, and this might be unique to my own skill set, is I'm able to absorb information, take it, and innovate on it. So I'll listen to, shout out to my guy, Patrick Bet David. I love his videos. I'll watch him. I'm like, that makes sense. I apply it to what I need to do. I innovate, and then I take action. You mentioned Gary Vee. I met him 3 times. Another good dude, right? I'm like, all right, cool. That makes sense. I'm going to do that, right? And so you just want to get an understanding of how you're going to be able to do that to remain consistent across the board, right? And I have my 3 to 5 people, right? Bedros Koulian, I'd had him in there as well. So like, I'm just like Jasmine Starr. I'm just like, these are people I'm looking at. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. How can I innovate it for me? And so that's like part of the system that I continuously do. Those people I mentioned, it's the only content that I really listen to or watch unless I'm supporting someone or I'm involved in something or whatever that may be. Now, to transition that into the system that I use for organic content, this is something that I created by accident. Like, it was like, oh, nice. Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. Now, also, this isn't anything new, but I've just added an innovative spin to it to make it make more sense for B2B organizations, but also for entrepreneurs. So it makes it super simple to start executing and you don't feel overwhelmed. So this system is called the Angel Falls Method. Okay. So,
all right. Let me grab my notebook real quick. Hang on.
So Angel Falls is not made up. It's the biggest waterfall in the world. It's in Venezuela. And it's an uninterrupted waterfall. Now, some of you may, what does that mean? That means the waterfall, there's like no dam, there's no anything. It just continuously streams into lakes, rivers, and bodies to fill up those bodies of waters of mechanism. Now, you may be wondering, okay, that sounds like a constant waterfall that's been done for like eons. And like, it has. The difference, though, with the Angel Falls method is instead of taking your blog post that you did that, you know, was the normal blog post and the normal writing, etc., the way that I've done it is I create a huge piece of content that's backed by the narrative that I want to be known for. And it's supported by 5 pillars of content that answer my pain points of my audience. So it's not just like I'm marketing to market. It's I'm marketing with a sales lens based on a huge narrative. And so those 5 pillars are going to support your narrative, what you want to be known for. And those could be anything. So I'll give you an example. One of the big pieces that I've done was Muffins with Morgan. So I actually eat muffins while I answer questions. And it was I still do it, a weekly show on Saturday during COVID because nobody obviously was going anywhere. Now, the way that I do it, I talk about innovating. Saturday morning cartoons was a huge thing growing up for me and my friends and for most people. So what I did is I made Muffins with Morgan like a cartoon. I took Toonami and I did the same elements and design, and I just basically took the design and then I made it into Muffins with Morgan. It's very anime style. Even if you look at the old designs, the animes, the muffins with chocolate chips had eyes. Chocolate chips has eyes. So like, it was very ingrained and like, this is something like a anime cartoon, right? And so the thing is that it's not just making generic content and repurposing. That's not what I'm doing. I'm creating a highly elevated quality piece of content that has some pre-production behind it. And so now with the Angel Falls method, you could repurpose that into mid-form and short-form content. So the mid-form content is like a blog post, a LinkedIn post, or a video, a YouTube video. And then short-form is a TikTok, YouTube short, tweet, whatever you want to do. So I realized that it's not about transferring into short-form content. You also have to have mid-form content, but not a lot of people talk about mid-form content because most people don't like to talk about the middle of anything, right? So that's why mid-form content is important. You got to have that piece in there. Otherwise, it's not going to work. So every single piece of content in 2020, let's say 80% of my content from 2020, to 2021 was coming from Muffins with Morgan. We would get 10 to 20 questions each episode. So I just answered the questions and that was a LinkedIn post. And then if I didn't answer on the show, that was a post that I did. So all my content literally came from one source of information that I did an hour a week. That's all I did. And guess what? That just saves you a ton of time. You don't have to come up every single day. Oh, I'm not going to write today. Well, you already did this huge narrative piece that's helping you. And again, like a waterfall, it's feeding into multiple bodies of water. And guess what you're doing now? You're feeding it into multiple channels. I was able to do Twitter and LinkedIn, which were my main things, and Instagram by doing that just one show. And that's my content strategy and system moving forward is I literally pick two big pieces of content. I hyper focus on like really drilling down the narrative. Who are we speaking to? And all my content just comes from that.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. I love seeing, I'm like obsessed with max efficiency. And this is like about, this is like as close as we can get to max efficiency on our time. And it's, yeah, it's really a truly a game changing system, especially the higher up the food chain we go, the more, the deeper I've gotten into B2B, our whole model basically pitches what you're kind of using, having a primary production that feeds into all of your content channels, your sales, your biz dev. All of that, if it's operating in an engine-like fashion, the efficiency is obviously going to be way better than somebody that's just manually doing it every single time, starting from scratch, write the video, script the video, send it off to an editor somewhere from Fiverr, get it back, send it back for revisions, get it back.
So much like happening.
Not sustainable. So I love that you've really clarified the value in having that primary production that can waterfall into all those other channels.
Yep.
Absolutely amazing. We are squeezing every single minute out of this show. Let's jump into our final portion here. It's actually the fastest game show in the world. It's called This or That. You're going to get two randomly generated options here. I'm going to be learning them with you. And all you got to do is pick one of them. And at the end of round three, we'll hear what you're up to and how these folks can connect with you. Are you ready to play?
Let's get it.
This or That. First one is grilled or fried?
Fried. I'm in the South.
Fried. Game over. That was easy. Rain or snow?
Snow. I hate rain. It's terrible.
Okay. All right. The last one. A horror movie or a drama?
Drama. I don't horror. I'm not about it. I'm not trying to get that energy.
Not about it.
Just, I'm about good vibes. There we
go. Well, congratulations. You just won This or That. Your prize. Why don't you go ahead and share what you are up to right now and where this listener can go ahead and connect and follow your awesome sales tips. Listen to Muscle Muffins with Morgan. Yeah. Or maybe see all of this stuff come into life. Or even work with you directly.
Yeah. So if you want to follow me, it's on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, etc. What I am doing on a day-to-day basis right now is taking my sales experience and putting that into marketing and meshing them together and helping organizations identify their already bold narrative and putting that inside of their content so they can amplify that in their organic content and developing those pillars like we just talked about. And then making sure that once we develop those pillars, we're sparking conversations that generate some revenue using the Angel Falls method that I just broke down for you all in just a more deep and cohesive way based on your audience. So that's what I'm working on right now. So if you're like, hey, my paid ads are not working right now. My sales team is not getting the meetings that they want. We have content. We have no idea what to do with it. Hit me up.
Absolutely. Absolutely recommended. Morgan J. Ingram on LinkedIn. Great, great follow. I mentioned he's on Twitter, rock and roll, and all the places. You'll be able to find him. We'll drop links in the show description as well. And before we jump to our final question of the evening here, I just have to say, real quickly, you are on another level. I have been following the journey. I've been, like you mentioned, having those kind of virtual and digital mentors. And you have definitely been one of them for me on this adventure. So it is an honor to have you on this show. And it's been a pleasure to see under the hood that you always think there's going to be some crazy proprietary system or technology. But some people you really just got to put in the work. And you prove that over and over again. So just have to give a quick acknowledgement and appreciation for those that are doing it right out there, because you are one of them.
I appreciate you, man. I'm glad we were able to finally do something after all these years, and I appreciate you having me on. I love the show. Hopefully everyone got something out of it, and I appreciate the kind remarks once again.
No, it's been absolutely amazing. And the last final question to hand you the mic one more time. This question's for a specific listener that might just be
starting out or they're stuck on that transition or taking it to the next level. So what advice or motivation do you have to send that listener into beast mode?
This is something I did for myself, and I think it'll help everybody here. Instead of trying to figure out what job title you want or what big goal you want to hit or a financial status, which are all great, write down what lifestyle do you want? And really dive deep here. Be like, okay, I want to like feel this. I want to live here. I want to be able to do these things on a day-to-day basis. I told myself like, hey, I want to be able to do content. I want to produce special projects, and I want to do a ton of video, and I want to be able to do it in epic locations. So my whole entire business is literally shaped around that. And that's how I'm going to scale it. And you have to figure out what lifestyle do you want to live before you start building or doing something, so that you're driving yourself towards that.
Boom! There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the B2Beast podcast. This has been Morgan J. Ingram.
You're a beast.